There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And it didn't change. Phone number 343-0106. Also works on the text line, 343-0106. Also, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to call and text and to send us a talkback message. That app is waiting for you over at the App Store for iOS users and for Android users. Somebody said they thought it was serious when I said, for cool, who was it the other day? I said, I can't believe you think it's, when I say cool Android users like myself, I'm lampooning myself at the same time. For us cool Android users, go over to Google Play and get the FM Talk 106.5 app. Just look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. Why? I don't know, but that's how it works. And that's also our name, FM Talk 106.5. Look for that. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. It's free. It's cool. And you're going to love it. You'll love it. And also, just as programming note, coming up, it'll be, what, it's a week from today? Is it a week from today? Yeah, I think so. 30 days has September, April, June. May 1st, it's our 15th birthday for FM Talk 106.5. So I just put that out there. It's birthday time. We're going to get our learner's permit. What do you think about that, Erica? 15 years of this.
Oh, you're obviously not talking about your birthday.
No.
But yes,
oh,
happy birthday.
Wow. Gosh, it's the station's birthday. I'm just a couple years older than the station. Started when I was 2 years old. Not to talk about stories you have up at 1890 News, but a preview. You just came from something you said was really cool. That's all I know about it. You were at a really cool event. What was that cool event?
Yeah, I can't believe you're letting me just cold say this on the radio. Like, why would anybody let me just go for it? But okay.
I trust you.
So I am actually working on a story that I have to have finished by 2 o'clock. So if I seem a little out of it, that's why. But this is such a cool story. I went to Gulf Shores High School today, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Turning Point USA before.
I have.
But most people have. It's kind of growing. Gulf Shores High School has the largest chapter of Turning Point USA in the nation.
Wow. Which is like, how many people make that? I mean, what, like, I don't
they
know what a chapter is.
They have about 142 on their roster.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's really large. And that school isn't that big of a school.
So the most conservative high school in the United States, you would say?
I would say that would be a good way to round it out. I asked some of the students, I said, do you ever have, you know, issues with other students who disagree with you? Because I know some conservative people, and when they come out and speak and say things maybe on social media, they get a lot of hate. And for a high school kid, that would be really difficult to navigate. So I asked, I said, do you ever get any of that kind of hate, you know, around here by speaking out or by people knowing that you're conservative? And the one girl said, no, everybody around here is kind of like that.
So. Listen, I don't want to throw a wrench into the works where the choir is singing along, but I like the idea that people would have different beliefs, you know, I mean, and could argue them. That's the good thing, is if you have a chance in high school or then in college to have a conservative belief and then have somebody to, you know, to debate with, not to go on and make a meme about online or whatever, just to have a debate to make sure, you know, iron sharpens iron, to make sure your ideas are solid.
It's very interesting that you said that. Coach Austin Boyd is the sponsor of this chapter, and two of his students told me one of the things they really like about him is that he brings in some of these conservative speakers and then they discussed what the topic was. They discussed both sides, and they even had a teacher that's more left-leaning come in, and she discussed, you know, the other side for the students. So he's definitely not brainwashing or trying to convince these students. He just wants them to be aware of things that affect them and their community and their state. This is a conservative state. So these are issues that they need to know about. They live here. And even though they can't vote, I think that just having that knowledge ahead of time, you know, they're just a couple of years out from being able to go to the ballot boxes. They are going to be the most informed of their generation because they've had this class. They know the issues. They know what things are important. And for those who want kids and to have a future, they have to be worried about these things right now because this is their future.
You know, which the fact that they're engaged, too, says a lot. It says a lot.
Yes.
Because you look at the turnout numbers. Their parents aren't doing it. You know, their grandparents are maybe doing it. But, I mean, the turnout is anemic. I mean, not just in that runoff, but in the primary in the first place. I mean, something needs to change because their parents' generation is not getting it done.
I think this generation is starting to be more engaged than the previous ones because they see the impacts of policy and they see what things are changing and what things they may have control over just by going to vote. And so they see that they can make a difference. And for them, that's important. I think you're going to see voters in this Gen Z be super excited to voice, you know, their political beliefs by voting. And I don't know if they are going to be more conservative or more liberal. That's, you know, up to them. But I feel confident that they will do the investigating on their own and look into things. They have a plethora of information out there with the internet. So they can just find out anything and they know how to use it. And so there's just really no excuse for them not to get a good understanding of both sides, and hopefully they'll make the right choice because our generations are going to depend on them to do the right thing.
Yeah, and to pay into Social Security. If you're just joining us, talking to Erica Thomas, 1819 News, 1819news.com, that story will be out this afternoon. So about the story that's on the website right now, what I was talking about last hour, and that is the situation down at Mobile City Hall and the 100-page report that came out from Kenyon Brown detailed last night on Mobile Police Department. Your headline here is, concern is public trust, MPD report released, still no movement on removal of police chief. So, yeah, where are we on that with the city council and they had the meeting? Are we tabling the tabling?
Yes, we really expected yesterday to see a vote on at least one of the resolutions. One was the resolution to remove Police Chief Paul Prine, and the other was to have an independent council investigation into, I don't want to say allegations that Paul Prine made, but that's what they're saying. But really, he just spoke out and said there appears to be, you know, some possible improprieties, and it's more the appearance of some things that may have happened that he was concerned about. So I don't want to say allegations because he's made it very clear to me. He has not said that any crime has been committed. He has not, you know, said anybody did anything. He's just saying it appears they might have, so let's look into it. So they tabled it again.
Okay, but to go back to that for a second, he had said these things, and I remember from my discussion with him early on, maybe the day after he was put on administrative leave, when he came on, he said, this is what you're saying, that these things just look bad, but he made complaints or whatever grievances about, you know, these things, and he said he didn't ever get an answer, right? I mean, is that your understanding of it, that like, hey, this thing doesn't look right, and then doesn't get an answer?
Yeah, he absolutely said that he did not get a response to those grievances. But there have been other grievances filed, and this is in my story. I don't know if you even caught on to it or not, but there was a grievance filed against Robert Lasky, who is the executive director of public safety. And this was in January, and it was around the time that all this stuff with Prine happened, and possibly I'm gathering that this is around the time that he also filed a grievance with someone in administration. This is like the second one that he filed was in January, I believe. So I feel like this has a huge part in all that's happening, but there's just no way to know for sure. But I asked Paul Prine about it yesterday, because when I saw this grievance, I thought, well, if there are people that are complaining about administration and not necessarily Paul Prine, why wasn't the rest of the Public Safety Administration part of this massive report? Because they really nitpicked every little thing. Like, if you read that report, they did a great investigation. They really dove into every little piece of evidence, except for they didn't interview the officers on the use of force things.
And then there's a whole bunch, like you said, that I don't know. You know, you get to what seems like a meaty part, and then it's redacted, you know?
Yes, yes.
So,
and also, it seems that the theme of it is like, oh, don't cuss, you know?
Well, like, that's exactly what I said last hour, that they got potty mouths. I mean, there's some serious things alleged in there, and I'm not going to push past those. I think but this idea that as a line item in this report, it's swearing in the police department, give me a damn break. I mean, really?
Well, I feel like if somebody was, like, I don't even cuss, you know, like, I try not to say any dirty words. But I feel like if somebody tried to kill me, I probably would maybe slip something out there. And also, like, when you're a police officer and you're working in the inner city, and this is how people respond, this is how they communicate, you have to let them know you mean business. And so I believe after they're in handcuffs, after they're, you know, subdued, yeah, maybe don't cuss at them. But if that's like the worst thing that you did after they tried to kill you or pull your taser or fight you, I mean, come on.
It seems
not a reason
silly.
To fire a police chief, for
no,
sure.
It seems very silly. Out of the, you know, there's other things you can discuss here that are much more serious, but that one does seem silly. And they go back, it's a culture of this. What do you mean, culture? I mean, how many businesses need to be shut down there or offices need to be shut down if there's a culture of cursing? I mean, come on. Really?
Yeah, I feel like that's the least of the worries. I think that this investigation, like, if they're so... I really was looking for more of the Public Safety Administration, you know, interviews, but that could be in the redacted part. Who knows? I don't know. But I saw a grievance document, and it was filed against the Executive Director of Public Safety, so I felt like that should have been mentioned, probably. Did accuse him of creating a hostile work environment. I mean...
Yeah, the same thing.
Like, never tell your boss you feel like you're in a hostile work environment. Like, those are fighting words, you know? Like, don't say that.
Well, at the same time, reading through this, now there's a bunch redacted here, but it seems like it's almost what I was told by, and I don't know if it came out in the report, but like when Mayor Stimson was on, they said that Chief Prine didn't respect the chain of command, right? And didn't go through the proper channels. And this paragraph here, unless included in the redacted areas, the report did not mention a grievance filed against Executive Director of Public Safety, Robert Lasky, what you were saying, who serves above Prine and the fire chief. The grievance stated that Lasky created a hostile work environment and made a subordinate feel uncomfortable. Well, how do you make the subordinate feel uncomfortable? Wouldn't it, the chain of command works both ways, right? So shouldn't it have come back down through Lasky? Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, is this not same thing that they're alleging that Prine did?
And this subordinate was not Prine. This was an officer.
Okay, so if it's an officer, doesn't it go from Lasky? Wouldn't it go back through the chief and then to the officer? We're going to be all, you know, caught up in chains of command.
It seems it would. And that's possible that the officer sent this to Prine and then Prine sent it on. But this was in January, and I think at that point, anything Prine said probably wasn't taken very seriously.
So, and I don't know that I don't have an answer to this, and I'm going to throw this at you. You may not either. As long as the council doesn't vote to remove Prine, is he in purgatory? Is he the chief? Where, like, how long?
He's on administrative leave, so he's not actively the chief, but he's still getting. He's still getting paid.
So if the council, for some reason, I don't
see a way forward with him being the chief. I don't think that the council
I don't either. No, I don't either. I'm thinking just in the short term. I'm just trying to think the mechanics of the Zogby Act and our government here, that if, you know, the what ifs, like if the council decided they're going to keep tabling this for 2 months. I'm not saying they are, but if they did, would that be the only mechanism to remove him? Because it doesn't come from the executive branch. It has to come from the council.
I mean, he could leave on his own.
No, but I'm saying, yes, if he didn't choose to leave, okay?
That's the only way is the council has to vote.
Bet those are some interesting conversations.
That's according to the Salary Act. But I think it's important, too, to look at this. If you're the mayor of Mobile right now, you are going to want this to hurry up and get over with. And that's what he wants, because he's probably ready to start building back that public trust that has been so... I mean, it's been wrecked. And whether it was right or wrong of the police chief to come forward with all that, the inner workings, I don't know, but the damage has been done. And so at this point, the mayor really needs this to get over with so he can focus on what's best for the city and what's next for the city.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really matter anymore what has happened, because that's done with. And
that can be sorted out. Yeah, that can be sorted out. But we've got, and with this report, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people come calling on Mobile, looking for, you know, cases to make here against Mobile and Mobile Police Department. I'm a Mobilian. I think Sandy Simpson's been a very good mayor. And so I'm in a quandary. Like when I had both men on, I said, I wish there was some way that they could resolve it, because I think they were both good for the city of Mobile. So it is a tough thing. It, with the information I have, that I don't know that it's that cut and dry. And yes, at the end of it, I want Mobile to succeed.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also the mayor has done a lot of wonderful things. You know, I haven't been here long, but I've already heard about all the wonderful things Sandy Simpson has done for Mobile. And I think that he means well for Mobile. Sometimes you have to look inside the sandwich. Sometimes it's not the bread, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the rot is like, you know, the bad turkey meat. So I think of it that way. I think that both of these men are great leaders, and there's just a situation here that was not sorted out in a timely manner, and it definitely wasn't handled in a professional manner, and it's definitely a black eye for the city of Mobile. But with Sandy Simpson, I think he will make, you know, the right decisions for what's best moving forward, but I do think it's going to be one of the most challenging things he will ever face.
Very well said. People want to get more of your stories. How they find you?
You can go to 1819news.com. Our stories are there. We have this last week of legislative updates, and I'm telling you, our team has been killing it. They've just covered everything. I know one of our reporters was up super late last night trying to get the latest. So please check out 1819 News, and you can subscribe to our newsletter. It's free to do that. You just get an email once a day.
All right. And I do check that out each morning. Erica, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye, Sean.
All right. There she goes, Erica Thomas, 1819 News, and we're coming right back. More of this very program, Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. You know, getting ready to celebrate 15 years of this radio station. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Who'd have thunk it? I did. And many others did, too. I've always had great support, and folks like y'all make it happen. Same thing that has worked for my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Now, his business is old enough to have its driver's license, and maybe even getting ready to be 17, which you could even graduate high school. For 16-plus years, 1-800-GOT-JUNK has been getting rid of junk. Mobile, Baldwin County. This guy I've known for a long, long time, Trey Bennett and his crew, and he's got family working for him, local folks working for the company and doing great work. And it could be... Because I guess we get this in our mind, you know, you think about things inside a house, you know, boxes and couches and those things, or boxes in a storage unit. And they do a lot of that. And that's they do that every day. But Trey says, man, don't forget how much of the big stuff we move to. And he said, I mean, above ground swimming pools, swing sets, storage buildings, the giant trampolines. You know, like, how are you going to get that hauled off? 1-800-GOT-JUNK has got that. They can do it. So if you got big stuff to haul off, lots of little stuff, lots of big stuff, whatever, and get that appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's an actual good old-fashioned appointment. They find a day, and they find a time that works for you. then you're there and they're there. And then they're like, hey, how are you doing? You're like, hey, how are you doing? They'll say, hey, what junk do you want to get rid of? And you point at the junk you want to get rid of, and they quote you right there on the spot. And if you say yes, well, they get to work and get it done right then. Clean up after themselves, too. And we've used them. The clean up after the work, I mean, the place looks better than it did when you started. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number. Give them a call. Get that junk gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The text line popping here. I'm going to try to get as many of these. Gosh, we still have holdovers for the Ben Franklin discussion. Let's see. David said, is it fair to say that Ben Franklin's more libertine than Thomas Jefferson is more libertarian? Yeah, some of that. Like a mix of the two, right? Unnamed texter says, for police to be nice to somebody after chasing them for a while is like asking a Marine who's been out killing a bunch of bad guys to turn around and be polite and nice to them. Yeah. I mean, the initial interaction, I do. I would want to hold the, you know, I hold the police in esteem. Their initial interaction with a citizen should be, yeah, we should expect politeness. But this is an issue in these situations delineated in the report from Kenyon Brown. They're like, oh, they were cursing. Give me a break.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. You've been talking to inventory, man. You've had literally plural truckloads of new inventory coming in.
We have. We've had three come in. We got one more coming. But you know, right now, my oldest boy Braxton's fixing to graduate from college next month. So
congrats.
Graduation's upon us. Thank you. It's well deserved. Braxton's a great guy. But we've got cars for girls, boys, anything you can want. We got a little Ford Fiesta. It's a great college car. We got a Lexus ES. We got some small trucks. We got some big trucks. We got a lot of gas savers, you know, Toyota Camrys and Hyundai Sonatas. We got two Buick Encores and a lot of small utilities. So we've got a great inventory. We got a Jeep Wrangler. I mean, that's a great car for somebody graduating. But if you're looking for something for your kids or for yourself, inventory has not been this diverse in a long time.
Tell people how to come check out that inventory.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation and Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, Sean.
All right, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Check back in on some of these texts when we can here. Let's see. Dr. Mariana sends this. Said, hi, Sean. This is my professional opinion on what I think is going on. Interestingly, MPD is CALEA, Commission for Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies, I guess, certified. According to the MPD website, in July 1994, the Mobile Police Department was initially accredited by the Commission for Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. Accreditation from CALEA is based on standards that are established to reflect the best practices for law enforcement agencies. Pursuing accreditation from CALEA is a voluntary task. Opening up the doors to the Mobile Police Department to be assessed by CALEA is a way of holding ourselves accountable and to show the public that we are striving to abide by the highest standards in order to provide them with the best services we can. Being accredited by CALEA acknowledges that the Mobile Police Department follows the best practices for a public safety agency. It is recognition that our leadership, operational guidelines, and community services So CALEA certification, and then comes back and says the CALEA certification is what needs to stick out. The two things I'm stuck on, I think we have some serious things to discuss in that report. I do. Ones I think are flippant, the cursing thing is flippant. And the one I think gives me pause, and I really do want to know, if you're going to make this statement, let's have a real conversation about what this means, that delineated here and the things that need to, you know, I think the six items or whatever that were the inability to de-escalate altercations with black suspects. Does that mean the inverse, that MPD can de-escalate with white suspects? I mean, because you look at these six cases, and all six cases listed here, they're black in this. But did we have any, like, okay, and then here's white people that they were resisting or whatever. Do we have this side by side? Is it the inability to de-escalate any altercations with suspects, or is it just black suspects? And what would be different about, I think that, I know it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, but I think if we're going to have something like that, then we need to say what that means. Jason says, Sean, it seems like Kenyon Brown's report is an invitation for the race hustlers to come to town and stir up trouble. Oh, well, that's been happening and going to happen, especially with this report out. If there's something they did that was unconstitutional, here's where I don't think I have to come back and say this, the supporter of law enforcement and at a citizen level and personally, because I have friends in law enforcement, I'm a supporter. But if there's something that was done that was unconstitutional, wrong, even though Kenyon Brown said each time, he's like, well, this was legitimate, even as he was laying out all the other stuff. If they did something wrong, then I want to know about it. I don't want to sweep that under the rug, but if it's saying where they're cursing, you know, and so I don't know what part of this, it seems like we're focused on some areas that don't seem as important. Maybe time will show that I'm wrong on that. So, all right, let's see. The unnamed texter here says, Sean, what it means is there's no justice system, so there is no justice system, so blacks commit more crimes than white people. Well, we say per capita in certain cities. Yeah, overall in the country, more white people commit crimes because there's more white people. But I want to know what it means that, like, the de-escalation thing, is there a difference between, and I don't put this on as a feign of naivete, because I can realize what happened decades and decades ago, but I live now. And, like, this idea that the police would, they can't de-escalate with a black person, but they can with a white person. I really want to know what that means. Rock and Roll Doctor said, how much did the city pay Mr. Brown for the problem he has created? I think the report, it came out to, and I don't know if it all went to Mr. Brown, there were other people, or Kenyon Brown, there are others that worked on it. I think it was $79,000 in billing, I think is what, I'm close to it. I'm paraphrasing here. Let me look at my man John Sharp's story up here. Maybe he, the journalist with the mostest, put it in there. But I think it is 79. Yep, there it is. Well, that's a quote. He had a quote in his story from Chief Prine, who said that Brown has been paid approximately $79,000 for the work. And, you know, and Chief Prine said that on the show here with us. This one, Hope Stimson and his cronies are proud of the black eye they gave Mobile. No pun intended. And there's part of it, Texture, that, I mean, some people look at this and they just love chaos, confusion, division. I want to know the truth, but I'm also a Mobilian. I'm for my city, right? I want the best for my city, all of us. I want to make sure we have the best of everything. You know, we want to continue to improve. This is where I live. This is where my kids are. Fire Dog says, please let me know your correct pronoun so I can tell you to drop the gun. If you do not know your proper pronoun, we will be forced to call you by your biological gender. Right, Fire Dog, have you seen the DUI stop where the what? And she's housed. I don't know if that's a legal term, but she's housed. I mean, she's drunk housed. And she starts arguing with the officer because he said, ma'am, and then she gets into it and says, well, I don't identify that way. It's classic. If I can find it, if you just search drunk woman argues about gender or something online, it's something. All right. Sean in Baldwin County said, Sean, it's not hard to draw the conclusion that Kenyon Brown's report is racially biased. He is, after all, Obama appointee, the same Obama that set race relations back 40 years. Jim in Georgetown says, well, golly, Sean. You shouldn't be timid about the coolness of an Android user. We're always one step or more ahead of the rest. They're just jealous and downright envious. Preach on, brother. All right. We'll have our Android folks meeting here soon. Jim, when it gets organized, and maybe in beautiful Georgetown, a beautiful part of Mobile County, holler at me. I'll take the Android and come on up. Gene says, I would never want my children to be involved with Turning Point USA. It's an awful group. Some people like it. Gene does not. You know, the beauty of the system, Gene, is that you could choose to not let your children be involved until they're 18. And, you know, that's it's a good thing. Even though there's going to be people that disagree with you, you can have that and you could say, nope, my kids can't be part of that. They might argue with you about it, but maybe wouldn't that be a crazy thing, Gene, to be in a house and your kids would be saying, no, I want to do the conservative thing because they're going to rebel against you, Gene, being the liberal person. This unnamed texter said, hello, I'm a veteran law enforcement officer. This report is mostly a joke. It's coming from a lawyer, not anyone who actually knows law enforcement and the realities of the job. Kenyon Brown's an attorney and nothing more. Never been in police work or its stresses or realities. Worked for U.S. attorney, but that in itself is a political appointed job too. And you have to have a real look at the police department. Would need someone who's actually done the job. And that part is interesting to me, texter. I'm a fan of watching matriculation in companies and right and through ranks where people know how to do the thing before they move to the position where they tell other people to do the thing. Same thing, I would imagine there's a language spoken inside law enforcement that makes that easier, right, to understand what's going on. I don't know that Kenyon Brown doesn't, but you bring up fair question. CB Carl saying, being a CB construction electrician, I've dug ditches around the world and climbed a lot of power poles, and I can assure you that I've never heard or used vulgar expletives. Yeah. You know, CB, you know the number of Marines I hang out with. I thought I knew some words. Let's see. Things I can't say on the air. All right. A named texter says, Sean, how can you de-escalate a suspect who resists arrest? I don't know. I mean, there's probably best practices in it, right? There's ways to do it. Listen, I've learned some of that. As we get older, right? From the, how'd you like me to kick your, I don't want to be a, like law enforcement, use a curse word here. No. How'd you like me to kick your blank, right? That was kind of the vernacular of teenage boys, where it went immediately from this to let's fist fight. To having a little more measured look at life. At the same time, if the officer has a job, number one job the officer has is to get to go home that night, right, to their family. They get to survive. Number two is to take the threat away from public safety, right? To apprehend the person, do whatever needs to be done. And how do you do when they resist? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are techniques, but I keep coming back to this one part that where it says, really, and hopefully somebody from the administration or if Kenyon Brown's office is listening, somebody can get to him. I would love a sit down. I'll give you an hour. I would love to learn. It says the inability to de-escalate altercations with black suspects. So is that on the police department or the black suspects? And is there any comparison with white suspects? Because there's a whole lot of officers that I'm friends with at MPD that aren't white. So is it black officers can de-escalate with black suspects or no officers can? I'm asking this as not rhetoric. I really want to know. Okay, so Dr. Mariana came back, said the CALEA certifications needs to stick out because why we go through such measures is to nitpick, which is exactly what Holder was doing, nitpicking the department when you're held in higher standards by CALEA. Did you just say Holder? Did you mean Brown? Did you let that slip? Let's see. And Buddy says, where was Jimmy Bumper yesterday during the conference? I don't know. I was watching on my phone, and I didn't see the wide shot. I saw the mayor there for a second, then I saw Kenyon Brown. Maybe he was off camera. I don't know if he was or wasn't. Buddy goes on to say, what is the racial makeup of the officers involved in these six incidents? I don't know. I don't know that. Then Ben in Baldwin County, you know, I don't need your Baldwin County grief here. Ben says, if I had to deal with the citizens of Mobile on a daily basis, I would have a bad attitude and use bad language as well. Well, then don't even bother us over here. And then Ben goes on to say $79,000. That comes out to about $1,700 per curse word, doesn't it? Is that the old swear jar? Is that what we need to do in remedial at MPD? Is get a swear jar there and then use that money to buy equipment and do training for the officers? They have a swear jar there, and if you swear, you got to put your money in, and that's how they They get it. That's good. So there you go. There's my first recommendation. Thank you for helping me think about that, Ben. I suggest city council members are listening that we institute a swear jar down at police headquarters and at the precincts. All right, news is next. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This Wednesday, we head back to the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. All right. Don says, you know, Sean, one thing I think a lot of people don't give our law enforcement officers understanding for this type of environment and the pure evil they deal with on a daily basis. While some folks with a suit and tie have never and probably will never be exposed to heaven forbid, to the possibility of losing their life. Yeah, they you know, there's no routine stops. Right, that the stressors and the PTSD. I mean, law enforcement suffers it like our members of the military. Right, that do this every day. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to hold to a higher standard. You know, we got to hold to a higher standard, and you know, the idea that do I want the officer, you know, pulls my daughter over, didn't, you know, or my son or whomever, Lord knows, to be sex, any of my kids, right, pulls them over for run a stop sign, you know, that they don't come up and go, you know, screw you, blah, 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 you know, no. But if that same kid fights and resists and makes a run for it down the street and this and that, then if the officer swears at him, okay, it was a stressful situation. But yeah, the, you know, and the police officers got to see people often on their worst day ever. That wears on you. Solid, doesn't have meta. You're always bringing your A game. Says, put the swear jars in the patrol cars. I like it. So this is what we're going to do here. This is my, off that one part of it. Like I said, there's other serious things to talk about in this report. But the, oh no, they're swearing. And this idea that linking it back to Chief Prine, the allegation is he said, F the public. And therefore, like the cops weren't swearing before, but did they go? Which, that was supposed to be like an executive committee meeting anyway for MPD, I think, where the allegation is he said F the public, which he says he did not say. But, I mean, can you picture this? They go, oh, hey, fellow officers, he just said that. Now we can start cursing. Give me a break. Give me a break, man. Unnamed texter says, the retired MPD officer, one of a couple that have been texting today, said, when I reacted to the slip-up of, I think Dr. Mariana said Holder versus Brown, and says Brown is just Holder Jr., and it says the races of the involved officers in the six incidents is mixed, which is, I mean, I would guess. I mean, look at the force. People look different, have different amounts of melanin in their skin, which is all we're talking about here. So that's, I go back to this. I really would like to, and seriously, if somebody can put me in touch with the people who did the report. And I wonder, this thing sticks out to me. And I know it's like, gosh, Sean, leave it alone. I'm not. This, the inability to de-escalate altercations with black suspects. Is there a side-by-side comparison where, like, the white suspects? I'm once again, it's not rhetorical. I'm asking a fair question, I think, here. Show me, and how can you, do you de-escalate differently with a black suspect than you do a white suspect? Is this a thing? I mean, I could be ignorant of it. Let's see here. Rick says, I'm from Baldwin County, and I love my Mobile brothers and sisters. Rick, the Baldwin County quota. Thank you, Rick, for the solidarity, and I stand with you and your Baldwin County folks as well. Unnamed texter said, who can stop the killing in Mobile and Pritchard and all around over there in Mobile County? I don't think anyone can. It's kind of like if you go back and listen to a conversation I had yesterday or many conversations we've had with my friend John Young. It's what got me involved in Men Unite Against Violence. You know, John and Drew Forward, who put this group together. Idea behind this is you can't arrest or policy your way out of all of it. You got to keep doing that. At the same time, we need some kind of cultural change. And that doesn't come from government. That comes from hearts and people and, you know, men standing up and it's not going to be overnight. That's the thing, too. We all want everything to be wrapped up like a crime drama where it's wrapped up in an hour, 44 minutes or whatever. This is stuff that comes incrementally, and everything we can do to change our city. And hopefully it spreads everywhere. But this is my town. This is what I, you know, focus on first. Don says, I'd rather have someone cuss me out than be forced to draw their weapon because I'm being an idiot. It's one thing I've noticed here, Don, and we're about to run out of time, but in this report, one of them, when they're talking about the six cases and they talked about Juwan Dallas, in that they said, as appropriately noted in the investigation, quote, although Mr. Dallas was belligerent, attempted to flee, and physically resisted, he never used derogatory language towards the officers. Even when he was in custody, he addressed the officers as sir. Okay. Who cares? I mean, honestly, who cares? You give me a choice. If I'm an officer, if you want to cuss me, but comply, right, and comply to what we're doing here, you can cuss all day long and comply. I'd rather have somebody who's cussing and complying than somebody who never curses who isn't complying. Again, no one interviewed me for this report, so. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Y'all have a great one. Remember, check out that FM Talk 106.5 app, even for the Android users.